Lord, we do thank you that we get to be involved in your stuff, in bringing your kingdom and seeing lives really be transformed, that we get to be involved in God-sized things just because we're part of your family. So, Lord, I ask that this morning as we go to your word, as we listen to what you have for us today, Lord, that we would get eyes to see what you're seeing for us, that we would get hearts to come into agreement with your heart for us and how you want to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, I just break any spirit of condemnation that would say that I'm not good enough to be involved in God's stuff. I say, be broken, be gone in Jesus' name. Any spirit of fear, be gone. Any spirit of selfishness, be gone. That we would have hearts this morning to come into agreement with our Heavenly Father who loves us and who cares for us. We love you, God. We love you. Thank you for your word. Let it have its way. In Jesus, your name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, over the past couple of weeks, as I talked about last Sunday, the Holy Spirit has been stirring within me a heightened awareness of God's heart for others. We talked last week about how God loves people. God loves you, and He loves me. He created us because He loves us. Jesus came and he spilled His blood, hung on the cross because He loves us. He loves us, but He wants more. He loves us. He loves that this room is filled with people who love Him and who know Him, but He wants more. I mentioned last week that we live in an amazing place right here in the East Valley of the greater Phoenix metropolitan area. I mean, we are a blessed people with so much. We live here in Gilbert. Our church is in Gilbert, the second safest city in the whole country. We've got it together here, right? Our neighborhoods are filled with happy people, no problems. Everybody just, you know, knows the love of God, right? I wish. It can be that way, though. It can be that way. We live, frankly, in an area where there's still so many that are hurting, that are lost, that are in pain, that are lonely, that don't know Jesus Christ, and they don't know the love of God that was talked about earlier this morning. What's happening in our world today? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit, and we're going to talk about how we need to respond to that as the church, as the people of God. See, the enemy, Satan, who is real, it's not some fairy tale thing that people just talk about, you know, and made up. It's Satan, the devil, he's real. And the enemy has set up strongholds in our land. Why? To keep God out. He set up spiritual walls in our community to keep God out. Let's throw up some of these pictures. I mean, look at our schools. Education, our schools. No prayer in schools. Can't say the name of Jesus. You can say all kinds of other things. You can talk about virtually anything else you want to talk about. But no God allowed in our schools. We go on and we look at our government. You know, wanting to tear down 10 commandments. We can't bring Jesus into the government areas anymore because no God allowed. We got walls that have been created around our government because the devil wants to keep God out of the ruling body over our nation, over our state. We look at businesses. I mean, it's getting crazy in business right now. If you stand up for Jesus, if you decide that you're going to honor the Lord with every area of your life, including how you do business, and you say, look, I won't be involved in things that dishonor the Lord, what happens? You get punished. And so the enemy is beginning really working hard, putting walls around the whole area of business in our community. Why? To keep God out. No God allowed. You look at the area of media, arts, and entertainment. We've known it for a long time. Satan has erected walls to keep God out. And now, of course, we understand just a few weeks ago, it became even more and more evident that the enemy is putting walls and strongholds around even families and marriages. I mean, who would have thought that it would get this way? No God allowed in families, in marriages, the very institutions that He created. The devil has walled off our society and shut God out. The tactic isn't new, though. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, it's near the end of the chapter. God's word says this: Now when Joshua was near Jericho, yes, we're dealing with Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Hey, that's where we are. Joshua 5, 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him, which I think is amazing because this guy is fearless. You know, I mean, we're talking about Joshua, right? Joshua went up to this man and he asked him, he said, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. And he asked him, he said, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied. He said, "Take off your sandals." Now check this out. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And in chapter 6, continues. Now Jericho was tightly shut up. Walls, walled off. Gates closed, locked. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites, because of the people of God who were approaching. No one went out and no one came in. What was happening? What was going on here at Jericho? The enemy had set up walls and gates in order to keep the people of God out of that place. God's people are not allowed here. Not only had the enemy established walls to keep God's people out, but the reason he wanted God's people out is because he knows with God's people comes the presence of God, and with the presence of God comes the kingdom of God. And where the kingdom of God is established, there's no room for any other kind of kingdom. Sound a lot like what's happening today. Walls around areas in our community, in our nation, to keep God out. However, here's what happened back in the day of Jericho here. The Lord had called the people of God to inhabit the land. But when the people of God inhabit the land, it goes beyond simply living on the land. When the people of God inhabit the land, they bring the presence of God and the kingdom of God, and so everything goes to a whole nother level. Things change. Darkness has to flee. The light of God is going to take its place. You see, when the people of God inhabit the land, freedom comes. People get saved. Transformation happens in lives, but also in entire communities and regions when God's people truly inhabit the land. Be who they are, like we talked about last week. Say what they know. Begin to bring the influence of who they are in Christ Jesus everywhere they go. This is God's heart, that His kingdom would come, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, Jesus, we just went through the Sermon on the Mount, He told us to pray for that. Now, do you think Jesus is asking us to pray for something, but not like be involved in the very thing that we're praying for? No. No. He wants us to be involved in this. But the forces of darkness fight back. They build walls. They erect gates. But when we read the rest of the story, we find that God used the Israelites as people to do what? To tear down the walls. He used the people of God to bring down those walls and to establish his kingdom in that place for his glory, so that true freedom would come to that place, to that region. It's pretty exciting stuff. So what does it mean for us today? Oh, it's just a Bible story, Pastor. That was really cool. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Hey, and the walls came tumbling down. But you know what? We got real life to live here today. What are you saying? What does this mean for us today? What it means for us is that we have a role as the people of God today, just as the people of God did back in the day. We have a role as the people of God today to tear down the walls and to establish the kingdom of God right here, right now, in the land that He's called us to inhabit, that He's called us to bring His presence. That's our role. Nothing's changed. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are we not the people of God? Is God's heart not that His kingdom would come and His will be done on earth right here, right now, as it is in heaven? It is. That's God's heart. We're called to tear down walls, to rip open the gates, to demolish the strongholds in our community and bring God's kingdom. The title of today's message is Bring My Kingdom. Last week, the title of the message was Be My Witnesses. Be who you are. Say what you know. That's what God wants you to do. Be His witnesses everywhere you go, every room that He invites you into, every meeting, every relationship, every place, every job opportunity, whatever it might be. Be His witnesses, church. And today He's continuing to tell us and remind us, bring My kingdom. But I fear that the greater body of Christ, that we've forgotten our role as the church. I mean, it's been that way for, unfortunately, a couple generations now, the way I see it. We've forgotten our role as a church. And even greater than that is that we've forgotten our identity as the body of Christ, the people of God. And in the process, the walls go up. The people of God and the presence of God get shut out. In Genesis 1, God gave man dominion over everything. In Genesis 3, man turned that dominion over to Satan. But then Jesus came. And Jesus restored the dominion and has given it to the church. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And I'm giving it to you. Now go bring my kingdom. Go be the church. Bring my kingdom. Share the gospel. Be the gospel. Live the gospel. Change and transform your community with the gospel. Bring my kingdom. Because you got the dominion. You got the authority as my church to do that. Sometimes we think we get in this weird thought process as the church. And we start looking at life And we start looking at the kingdom of God and what God wants to do. And we get this sweet by and by, you know, sometime in the distant future after we're dead and we're floating around in heaven or something. And all this kind of, you know, stuff happens. We get these crazy thoughts. We don't realize and we don't remember and we don't look at God's word that it's for here and now. This is a here and now word for the church, for the people of God, just as it was even back for the people of God at Jericho. Just as it was when Jesus preached it and spoke of bringing His kingdom. It's a here and now word for the people of God. And bringing His kingdom starts right now, right here with us. Now check this out. Jesus instructed His church, that's us. He said, bring my kingdom. Look with me at Matthew 11, verse 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Now, I wish I could say that what I've been witnessing in our world, in our time right now, is that the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. I haven't seen enough of that, frankly. But here in Matthew 11, 12, it says, but the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. It says, and forceful men lay hold of it. Not passive men and women, not world-pleasing, get along with the world, fit in kind of men and women, but forceful men and women who are willing to get on board with God and bring His amazing kingdom of love and freedom and light into our land. I mean, think about that. Forceful men. We're called to overcome. We're called to overcome aggressively, spiritual aggressiveness, and spiritually take territory. Just feel like we'll remind ourselves that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against those principalities of darkness. So we're talking about bringing His kingdom, spiritually bringing it, but for it really to be made evident in reality. We're going to get to that. Hang with me here. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, meaning the truth that you just spoke, that I am the Son of God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amazing truth. Bring my kingdom. Jesus has just told us, the church, that we have been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We, the church. In other words, we have the power, we have the authority, and we have the dominion and the responsibility to be a gate-taking force. That's the words of Jesus for the church, for His followers, for us. We, the people of God, are called to tear down those places where Satan has come in and created strongholds to keep Jesus out. That's our job. Not just give up and say, well, that's the world. The world's got the schools. The world's got the government. The world's going to take all this. But, you know, the church will survive. Yeah, it will. But is that what we're supposed to do? Just kind of turn a blind eye and go, well, whatever. We're the church. Praise God. We love the Lord. Jesus said that there is not a gate in our community. I mean, check this out. He just said this passage we just read in Matthew 16. Jesus just said that there is not a gate in our community that we, His church, that we cannot take. Whatever you bind. He didn't just say some things that you bind, you know, are going to be bound in heaven, and some things are going to be loose, but there are just some certain things that are too big that I don't even think I want to even have you try. No. Jesus didn't say this. He said there's no gate, there's no wall, no gate in our community that the church cannot demolish, no stronghold that we cannot crush in the name of Jesus. There's no area in our community, in our nation, that we cannot bring the kingdom of God into. Whatever we bind, whatever we loose, what are we afraid of? Why are we so timid? Why are we so worried? Why do we just run and hide in our homes and in our churches and let the world go to hell in a handbasket? That's not what we're called to do. It's not what we're called to do, church. Are we really living in this reality, though? Are we praying in this reality? Are we believing for this reality right here, right now? Well, Jesus has given us the charge and the authority to locate the gates of hell, locate them, and then to rip them off their hinges. And here's why. Just because we're supposed to be so forceful in all this, and we got to show people that God is God and they're not, and we're gonna set them straight. Is that why we are called to go out there and to tear down the walls and rip the gates of hell off their hinges? Now, here's the big picture, is that behind those walls, behind those gates, are people that Jesus spilled His blood for. that he hung on the cross for, that God loves as much as he loves you. He loves them and he longs for them to know him and for them to be part of his family. Behind those walls that we were just looking at, behind those gates are precious people. Jesus' blood was spilled for, and Jesus is crying out, church, tear down those walls. Rip off those gates. I love them. I want them. And I'm calling you, my church, to go get them. We're going to talk more about that next week. Go get them. Go get them. This is the bigger picture. We're called to set people free from the bondage of the devil. Like our Savior, we're called to be bondage breakers. You are. I know you look at yourself going, me? Yeah, you. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you. He's given you all you need for life and godliness. He's given you all you need to be a bondage breaker and a kingdom bringer right here in the community that you live in. All you need and all we need as the church to do that. We're called to continue his ministry of setting captives free. We're to be his witnesses and bring his kingdom. You know, I heard another pastor, Jimmy Evans, who did the marriage stuff for us for the marriage seminar that we did in the spring. He made a comment similar to this, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing it and putting it my own way. I agree with him. I believe that for far too long, the church, not necessarily this church, not necessarily you, but for far too long, the church has been built for spaghetti dinners instead of for tearing down the strongholds of Satan in our community. I mean, we have been. Oh man, we can have programs and it can be really exciting and comfortable, you know, to go to church. But is that how we're called to build? Is that what we're called to build? Or are we called to build a gate-taking force that will literally go into our community, identify the strongholds of Satan, and tear them down so that we can bring the love of God? The love of God, the freedom in Christ Jesus to precious people. We're not battling the people. We're battling the strongholds. We're battling Satan and the strongholds and the walls he's put up. That's what we're tearing down so that people can be built up in Christ and know him. That's it. It says in 1 John 3:8, second half of that verse, the reason the Son of God appeared, the reason Jesus came, was to destroy the works of the devil. We're called to be about what Christ was about. We're called to do what Jesus did. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to punish the devil, to end his dominion. And he has. And he's asking for the church to say, yeah, you have Jesus. You've ended his dominion. We recognize that. And we're going to carry that reality into our community. There's no reason that there should be gates of hell and strongholds and walls keeping people from the Lord in our community. There's no reason for that. Because the keys of the kingdom, he has and he's given to us, the church. Jesus is telling his church, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I've given that authority to you. So go rip down the gates of hell and free the captives. Amen. That's his call for us, the church. Jesus said, and this is the Great Commission in Mark 16, beginning in verse 15. He, Jesus, said to them, we're all familiar with this part, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So people have a choice and people will make that choice. But then check this out. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And what's the first sign? In my name, they will drive out demons. In other words, this sign will follow the church, the believers. Believers will be tearing down the strongholds of the devil. Will be casting out the demons from lives and from the very community that they live in. will be transferring the power from from Satan to the Lord. We'll be changing the whole atmosphere of the region and the town that they live in. Town transformation. That's part of our vision and mission here. We'll be transforming our town and our whole region. Why? Because we're doing the Great Commission. We're doing the Great Commission. We're tearing down strongholds. We're casting the devil out. We're bringing the kingdom of God, the love of God. We're saying, no, not in my neighborhood anymore, devil. Not in my neighborhood. It's not okay. We're not going to live as cozy neighbors anymore. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to you anymore. I see your schemes. I see what you're doing. It's not right, and no more. No more. No more. Tear down the strongholds of darkness. The early church understood this. They walked in it. It says in Luke 10:17 that the 72 returned with joy. Now, these are the ones that Jesus sent out. These aren't the 12 disciples. These are the greater body of Christ now. It's going out. It started with, you know, he's got his 3, he's got his 12, he's got his 70, he's got his 100, he's got his 1,000. He's got the whole church now. And he's sending everybody out to do this. And he was sending them out 2 by 2 into all of the regions. And he's telling them to go bring his kingdom. And they came back. You can read about it. It's in Mark 10, I believe, and they're sending these guys out and read about what Jesus called them to do. And they're coming back, and this is what they say to Jesus when they come back from that assignment of the Great Commission that we're also called to do. They said, "Oh my Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us in your name." I am longing for the whole body of Christ to be saying that when we come together. Woo! The demons submitted to me this week. In the name of Jesus, they submitted to me this week and they had to flee. Freedom came. Appreciate Clay's testimony. Bringing the kingdom of God to that apartment complex where they live. Praying over it. Speaking freedom over that place. The Lord moved on that young lady's heart. She said, "I want God." Met him at their door even. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. We get afraid that this is going to be so hard, so difficult. And believe me, the Lord is just looking for people who are fully His, 2 Chronicles 16:9, so that He can show Himself strong in them and through them. He'll do it. He does the heavy lifting, man. He just wants us to come into agreement with the truth of who He is and who we are as the people of God. And we're going to see freedom come, and we're going to see strongholds demolished in our community for the glory of God. And precious people are going to be coming into freedom, out of bondage. Come on, this is good. This is kingdom living. This is what the Bible calls us to. This is it. I love spaghetti dinners. They're awesome, and we will continue to have potluck. We're not canceling potluck now. We're not doing that, okay? We will continue to get together and eat together and laugh together. There were about 15 to 20 ladies last night who were over at the Villegas' house, and they were playing games and eating food and laughing. We had almost 25 of the youth. We got 10 or 12 of them out of town right now at camp, but the rest of them, about 25 of them, over at our house last night, singing, worshiping, praying, ministering to one another, and then they were eating food and playing games, man. And it was just awesome, full of life, full of fun, full of joy. But man, that's just the Lord refueling us, refilling us, equipping us, encouraging us to do the big work of bringing His kingdom and tearing down the gates of hell. We got to make sure we don't become complacent as a church and get into some kind of maintenance mode. We got to always be pushing forward, being dynamic, and as we are told in Scripture, to be forceful. People's eternities are at stake. This is no small thing. It's not some kind of optional thing for the church. And I know there may be people that goes, "Oh, that's great, but that's for the other guys, or maybe that's for the other church." And I really, you know, no, this isn't optional. Being the body of Christ is not optional. If we're not the church, then who's going to be the church? I want to mention a little story about that in just a bit. I want you to turn with me, though, to Revelation 2. Ooh, we're going to Revelation. By the way, I taught through the book of Revelation a couple years ago. You gotta be reading the book of Revelation at least annually. I mean, come on. It's beautiful. Revelation 2, verse 4. This is Jesus talking to the different churches, encouraging them and correcting them. And he's talking to the church in Ephesus here. And he says, yet I hold this against you. He just encouraged them, and now he's going to bring up something that they need to kind of look at. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. He says, repent and do the things you did at first. Do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The church had lost its first love. This should not happen, by the way. You know, you date, you get married, you have your honeymoon, it's all wonderful, and then you get complacent in your relationship with your wife or with your husband. That shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't happen with our relationship with our bridegroom, Jesus. We get saved, we get delivered, you know, the Lord forgives us, we feel so good and we're so excited and we want to tell other people about it and we're on fire for God, and then we let things just kind of go, and we stop doing the things that we did in the beginning when we were dating, when we were caring for one another. I'm getting convicted even right now. I came to look at my wife, I'm like, whoa, wow. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Preach it, Pastor. Wow. Okay, so it wasn't supposed to go there. It was supposed to, this is for you, not for me. Anyway, so, I know what I'll be praying about tomorrow morning. Okay, Lord, help me. So the church had lost its first love. And one of the ways that it was evident that they lost their first love is because they stopped doing the things that they did in the beginning when they fell in love and when they received love from their first love, Jesus. They stopped doing the things they did in the beginning, being His witnesses, bringing His kingdom, telling people about Him, like that woman at the well who just couldn't keep silent, had to go tell the whole village about the man she just met that knew everything about me. Come, you got to meet Him. Come, you got to meet Him. The church in Ephesus had forgotten, and they stopped doing those things, being His witness, bringing His kingdom. And therefore, God was about to remove their lampstand. What's that all about? What's this lampstand thing? The lampstand is God's supernatural identifier that He plants in a church that says, these are my people. I dwell among them. That's His lampstand. It's His supernatural identifier. This is my place. These are my people. It means that in this church, people will encounter God's presence. You don't need to advertise when God's lampstand is present in a church. You don't have to go out and get all fancy with fog machines and all that. Not saying we won't ever do that, but probably not. But you don't have to get all this and that, you know, to try to draw people in. When God's lampstand is there, when it's planted in a church, when His presence is there, I mean, people are going to come. That's what happened with Clay and Susie at their apartment complex. The presence of God was there. His lampstand was there. And she was drawn. Hey, I want to know God now. I'm ready for God. God's lampstand. A church that's in love with God and on fire for Him, open to Him, doing what's on His heart, being His witnesses, bringing His kingdom, will have His lampstand. They'll have His lampstand. Will have His presence and His power. I believe we're that church. But I don't want to get complacent. I don't want to turn into a spaghetti dinner church. I don't want to lose my first love. I don't want to stop doing the things that I did in the beginning. I want to rekindle that fire. I want to be about God's business. I want to be His people, His church. I want to have a love for people that He has for people. I want to love them so much that I'm not going to let Satan erect walls around them and torment them and keep them from the love of God that they were created to know and that God longs for them to know. I believe this is what the Lord has spoken over us. You know, there have been so many words, at least 6 times from 6 different people inside and outside this church that have said, you know what, I just really sense that this church is a lighthouse. This church is a lighthouse. And I've been praying, God, what does that mean? And he's been giving me things and giving me pictures and ideas and understanding of what it means to be his lighthouse. And he's starting to bring more and more clarity to it. And he did this week. He said, my lampstand, lighthouse. You're called to be a place where my lampstand is firmly established and planted, where my light is emanating, where my presence is so obvious that people, the lost and the lonely, those that are about ready to just wreck their lives completely, will see the lighthouse, the lampstand, my presence, and come running and saying, I need God. I need what you have there. The lampstand of God, the presence of God. He is going to establish his presence with a people that are fully given to him. He's going to show himself strong through them. And it's going to be beautiful. I want to be about his business. Instead of falling for the diversion of seeking the manifestations of God, let's seek God. Let's seek his heart and let's be about his mission. Do we want to see more of God move? Do we want more testimonies like we were hearing this morning, like we keep hearing every week? Do we want to hear about more people that are coming to Christ? Do we want to hear about more healings? Do we want to hear about more marriages restored? Do we want to hear about God moving in powerful ways? We get to be about his mission, and we're going to see it. It's the sick that need the healer. It's the hurting that need Jesus. And when we introduce the two, the manifestations of the kingdom of God become evident to us. Do we understand that whoever wants people more is going to get them? Who wants them more? Do we want them more than Satan wants them? Does the church want people more than the devil wants them? Because the one who wants them more is going to get them. Jesus wanted people. He demonstrated how bad he wants them. He went to the cross. That's how bad he wants them. That's how bad we need to want them. We got to want people that bad that we're not going to let Satan erect these walls and put up these gates of hell around our community and torment people any longer, because we want them because God wants them. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. A couple more things I want to talk about. I heard somebody talk about how to starve a dog, and I thought, okay, this is kind of weird. Am I going to keep reading? But I did. And here's how it goes. You want to know how to starve a dog? You have three people feed it. You have three people feed the dog, and the dog's going to starve. Why? Because every one of those three people thinks that the other one is feeding them. And so they just kind of chill out. They stay on the couch watching their shows or whatever, and they figure the other two, at least one of them, is taking care of the dog. But nobody in the whole time is taking care of the dog. We can't assume that anybody else is going out and getting them. We can't assume that anybody else is tearing down the strongholds of Satan in our community. We can't assume that that's going on. We need to just be about our Father's business, and we need to do it. I believe that there are other believers, other churches in our community that have this calling and are going after it too. But I'm not going to assume that they're going to take care of it. I know that God has called us, his church, to be about his business and to bring his kingdom. And so we're going to feed the dog, if you know what I'm saying. And we're going to rip some gates of hell off their hinges. How do we do this? We know that we live in the world, but we don't wage war as the world wages war. It's a spiritual battle. The Lord gave the people of God at Jericho supernatural spiritual ideas and strategies how to tear down the walls. And they came into agreement with God's strategies and the walls came down. The Lord will give us supernatural strategies for tearing down the walls that Satan has established. We also know in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you overcome the strongholds of Satan with good? With the opposite? With love. That's how you do it. Bringing the love and the freedom of Christ. Showing the world that that's what he's about. I think about some of the things that we're doing. I want to just put a little meat on this just to show you that it gets very real and gets very practical. I think about the eye help that we're doing, and I'm looking at Sean, who started that. and went with that. And as our representative here at Evident Life Church, and I think about how we're part of this organization of churches that is actually bringing the love of God and the hope of God to our community. And what are we doing? We are demolishing strongholds that Satan is establishing to keep precious people away from God and in bondage and in hurt and in want. And God says, that's not my plan for their lives. Church, help. The church, the greater body of Christ, is coming together and demolishing those walls, tearing those gates off their hinges, and bringing the kingdom of God into people's lives so that this will not be in our community. This kind of ongoing homelessness and hopelessness is not going to be allowed in this community, because the people of God, the church, is going to say, no, those walls aren't going to be established. You see how practical this can get? How real this is? Because people are real. I've just begun to engage with some artists in our community. I've actually been talking with Tab a little bit about it. She's at the back of the room, and I want to invite you, Tab. I have a meeting on Friday at, I'll let you know. I think it's at 2 o'clock on Friday. I'd love to have you there if you're able to be there. And I want to ask you also, this is on the fly, hey, a little, you know, family business here, if you would be willing to share that testimony with the church next Sunday. You can tell me later. But I'm not putting you on the spot right now. I'm just throwing that out there. I kind of did. I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about it until it came out. Now everybody's going to want to hear, what is it? What is it? Don't ask her what it is. If she wants to share it with us, she's going to tell us on Sunday. It's awesome, though. So encouraging. So amazing and encouraging. It's bringing the kingdom of God, freedom, awesome stuff. Okay. But I'm praying, I'm asking God, how do we engage? How do we put part of the community? How do we tear down the walls and bring and establish the walls of righteousness and the banner of righteousness and joy in our community? How do we do that? Well, I am not an art guy at all, but the Lord is calling me to get involved with some artists in our community and help create an art walk in downtown where the church is part of it, where we have influence in it, where we can have local Christian artists who can be displaying the glory of God, and where people can be drawn to the light, the lampstand, the lighthouse of God through this. We got to be part of what's going on. We got to bring the kingdom of God to our community. Bring it. Forcefully, in love. You hear what I'm saying? I also look at Velvet is just started to be involved in a committee. She's on a, what is it? It's a women's issue committee. Women's advisory committee for Congressman Matt Salmon's office. And her first response was, I don't know, what am I going to be able to offer? I'm just a pastor's wife, homeschool mom, you know, been married for 24 years. What can I say about women? I'm like, what, are you crazy? The Lord is opening the door and saying, I need you at that table. I need you to be who you are and say what you know. I need you to bring my very presence into the community that you live in and potentially even affect the whole nation. How do we tear down the strongholds that Satan is establishing? We go out and we forcefully do it. We get involved. We get connected. We bring the kingdom of God. Don't just preach about it. Don't just think about it. But bring it. Part of Gilbert leadership was doing that with me. I've had the opportunity. I'm looking actually, and we have somebody else. Jim Berry is looking. I'm just calling everybody out this morning. Everybody's going to be afraid to come to church next week. But come on. It's all good stuff, though. Jim Berry's looking to be on some committees here in the community. Why? Because he's feeling a call by the Lord to get involved, to bring the kingdom of God, to bring God's perspective into these different areas in our community. I'm feeling the same thing. We need to be integrated in our community. We really do. I'm going to talk about that some more next week. And I want to mention one other thing. He just walked out of the room, so I can say whatever I want to about Dave Caldwell right now. But Dave Caldwell, we just talked about some practical things about bringing the kingdom and tearing down the strongholds of Satan. Here is something that might sound a little more spiritual, but it's very practical because it took action. When we were moving from the other location down here, when you would go from the old location to this location on Gilbert Road, there were three psychics that had three separate places set up where they did their witchcraft. Okay? Three of them. Well, Dave was like, this isn't okay. Not in our community. Not here where I live, where I'm raising my children, not where I'm called to bring the presence of God. So he started aggressively, as he would drive up and down the road, back and forth Gilbert Road, he would aggressively do spiritual warfare to crush the devil, to rip those gates of witchcraft off of their hinges and to cast them out of our community. How many psychics are up and down the road from here to Warner right now? Zero. 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 All authority. We have the keys of the kingdom. They've been given to us. Do we recognize that? Are we walking in it? Band, come up. Are we walking in it? So what are the gates in our community? I'm closing up. Everybody's probably looking at their watches. It's all coming together right now, okay? What are the gates in our community that Satan has been establishing? What are they? Drugs? Divorce? False gods? All of those. I can tell you all of those. Every one of those. And others. We got to identify the strongholds. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there to my church family. I am looking for Joshuas and Calebs right now to come alongside with me and to spy out our land and to help identify what are these strongholds and to seek the Lord with me to say, okay, God, what are the strategies for demolishing those strongholds in this community and bringing your kingdom? Because there are precious people who you long to set free. And I'm serious. I'm looking for Joshuas and Calebs. Your name doesn't have to be Joshua or Caleb. But I'm looking for men and women who are ready to be involved in this. It's simple in the end. God does all the heavy lifting. We just say yes to Him. And in the end, those of us who are redeemed and set free, we just got to be who we are, where God has planted us. And we just got to say what we know to everyone that the Lord puts us in contact with. God does the rest. God changes the hearts. God draws all men unto Him. But we're called to be the church, to be His people. Let's stand up. I want us to sing this in faith. I want to sing these statements about letting the heavens open and His kingdom move in our community. I want to do it as those who are willing to forcefully bring His kingdom. Those who are walking in faith, who have hearts for the lost and the hurting and the lonely. That heaven would open, the kingdom of God would come, and we as church would be blessed to be part of this great work that He's doing in our midst. Let's sing.
Let the heavens open, let Your kingdom move. Our faith and hope in our great God. Let the heavens open, let Your kingdom move. Our faith and hope in our great God. Let the heavens open, let Your kingdom move.